Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Clutch Football. I'm your host, James Martin. Should be a good one this week. I'm joined, as ever, by Fabio Duarte, but today we're also pleased to welcome Everton fan and journalist Greg Denholm to the show. Greg, thanks for coming on.
All right, James, a genuine pleasure, mate.
Brilliant. This should be. I'm looking forward to this one. Greg will hopefully be able to provide some much-needed balance to my coverage of the Merseyside derby. We'll dive into that soon, but first, just a quick roundup of how Fabio and I got on with our international tips last week. So just bear with us for a second on this, Greg. Short version is 4 out of 7 tips came in for me, wins for Colombia and Romania, and goals for Haaland and Lukaku. Fabio, you also tipped both of those goal scorers, I think, so pretty successful for us on the whole. How did you do on the rest of your tips?
No success on any of my other tips. My threefold accumulator came close on the winners, one goal off on each. So that was Netherlands to beat Bosnia, 8-15, that's nil nil. Portugal to beat France, that was also nil nil. And the one I was most gutted about was double chance Ukraine or draw against Germany. Germany won 2-1, and then Ukraine went on to beat Spain a few days later.
Yeah, that's a tough break. I sort of set you up for a fall there, though, asking about your tips when there were no more winners left. But you got the goal scorers at least, so not too bad. So Everton versus Liverpool is up first on our match list. I am eager to dive into it, but before we get into the tips, Greg, as we have you here, I think it would be remiss not to just talk for a bit about Everton's season so far, more generally. I mean, surely you didn't see this start coming.
No, not at all, to be honest with you. I mean, it's day and night from the loss against Bournemouth last day of last season, and I think because of that, it almost looks like it's been like an overnight change. But I think what we're seeing is maybe the final stages of a top down process since Mascheri came in. He comes in and he's happy to spend all this money, and the person he's got in charge of recruitment, I want to say it was Steve Walsh at the time. He's throwing it out on dross. Too much money on players who are, not fitting the system. We eventually get Marcel Brands in and turn to this director of football style, and the manager, someone decides that Marco Silva's the man to take that project forward. But now, Ancelotti's in. He's at the end of last season was him without his players. Now he's got that in, and I think all of the pieces are finally slotting into place. And this project we've heard at Everton for years being thrown around, I think I finally am starting to believe in.
Yeah, well, nice to hear some positivity. So the first time you've really been coming out with that kind of stuff in many a year. We've talked about our respective teams, but yeah, it's hard to disagree with too much of that. I think your point about sort of not just spending big but spending smart is the key, both in terms of players and managers. Like you say, there were so many duds at Everton back in the past. It was fun for me to laugh at, but less fun to back every week, I'm
Oh,
sure.
I mean,
But
only yesterday we finally got Shani Tarashai off our squad list.
blimey,
I
that's a blast in the past. But yeah, it's a good time to be an Everton fan, no doubt. I don't really know what else to say about that because it just makes me a bit sad. But I'll put this might make me feel a bit better. Where do you reckon this side finishes come the end of the season?
I mean, it would be very easy to get ahead of myself at the moment. Obviously, I don't know if you know, but haven't lost a game. In fact, we haven't even drawn a game since the season started. I think other teams will start to pick up. It's been a weird start to the season for everyone. The amount of goals, the lack of a break. We seem to have just the sort of siege mentality we had at the end of last season seems to have helped us well. We went away, and Ancelotti said, "Everyone come back with a different mindset," and we've sort of ridden that and got into the season. Everyone else is sort of hit a stumble out the hurdles. So I think we will obviously get caught up and fairly soon. But I don't see why this team with the quality it has can't challenge those top four spaces.
Yeah, before the start of the season, I would have laughed you off the podcast, but from what we've seen so far on that evidence, I can't really argue too much with that. Not only because of the strength of Everton, but also some of the other top four contenders have not started convincingly. I don't know what you think about that, Fabio.
Well, same as you, really. I think I predicted them ninth at the start of the season, a bit more positive than you were about their prospect. Still, top four didn't even cross my mind. And on the basis of what we've seen so far, I'd say that Everton definitely can get top four.
Wow, there you go. What a depressing time to have an Everton guest on
It's fantastic,
the
James. It's really fantastic. I think the stars have perfectly aligned for me to be here today.
podcast. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that pans out after the derby's played out. And speaking of which, we'll dive straight into our tips for that now. Greg, why don't you kick us off with your value selection for this one?
I mean, this might actually surprise you. My value selection, I've gone with Mane to score at any time, 11 to 10. I think he's just always good for a goal against us, to be honest with you. It was between him and Salah, really. Salah obviously got that Puskas winning goal against us, but I want to say that's the only league goal he scored. But Mane, I think, has played us four times in the league and scored four times. So, you know, I think that's decent value for something that could be quite likely.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you. We love a guest who comes prepared. Nice little stat pack for us there. I like it a lot. And secondly, I can't disagree because that's also my exact same value
Yep.
tip. So most of the reasons you discussed. I'd also sort of mention that I suppose with Coleman being down that side, no disrespect to him at all, he's an absolute stalwart and I think he's a great player, but he's never been the quickest and there's probably slightly more the case these days. So if Mana can get behind, maybe he'll have some joy there.
Coverage of James on that side as well means Coleman's got a hell of a lot to do in terms of the defensive duties. You know, he hasn't got much tracking back, but I think the only place that Mane might have a bit of trouble is where Doucouré drops off and defends on that side of the pitch.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In many ways, kind of a similar model to Liverpool's midfield in the sense of that kind of right-sided midfielder dropping across to provide some cover. But yeah, it's a big job, especially as you say, with James given license essentially just to roam up the
Yep.
pitch. So yeah, good tip. I would say that because it's also my tip. I guess we'll turn to Fabio. Do you have a different one for us?
Yeah, I've also got an anytime goal scorer. I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin at 8-5. Obviously, he's in the form of his life right now. His confidence is high. He scored for England. Everton are creating so many chances, and he's right at the centre of all the chances they create, basically. He's the guy getting on the end. Liverpool were a mess against Aston Villa. I don't expect the same thing to happen again, but Liverpool have been shaky at the back in multiple games this season, so I expect Everton to score. And if Everton are scoring, Calvert-Lewin's likely to be the man to put in the back of the net.
Wow. Well, first, let me say, I can't believe that Fabio was the first one to bring up Aston Villa. I thought for sure Greg would be the first one to mention that. But yeah, you can't fault the logic. You'd imagine Everton would get a goal just on the basis of how the season's gone so far. Most games, you're seeing both teams score. And as you say, Liverpool haven't looked the most secure defensively. Calvert-Lewin's really on a hot run. So yeah, it's a sensible tip. I don't necessarily think it comes in, but I can see why you're tipping that as value for sure. With the wild card, I've gone for over 2.5 first half goals at 4-1. I've got a bit of a stat pack for you now. So we've seen 3+ first half goals in Everton games against West Brom, Brighton, and Crystal Palace. So that's every game since the opener against Spurs. And then with Liverpool, it's happened in the wins over Leeds and Arsenal. And that other game just before the international break, which I don't think we need to discuss anymore. But anyway, that one. So again, all but one game. So at sort of 4-1, that looks good to me.
James, I'm just going to need reminding of what that game was.
You know what? It actually slipped my mind as well, though. So you'll just have to take my word for it.
Okay.
I think it was nine goal thriller is one way you could describe it. What about you, Greg? What's your wild card?
I've gone with a draw, but with both teams to score at 7-7-2. It would have been very easy for me to have said an Everton win here, but honestly, off the back of when a team gets humiliated, torn limb for limb, like Liverpool did, you often see a little bit of a resurgence, a bit of a coming together. You know, I can think of what was it, Southampton last season, losing to Leicester. They sort of chose that and used that as a rallying point. Was it Sunderland losing to Southampton quite heavily a while back? And you know, it was probably that performance, that watershed moment that stopped them getting relegated, because at that point they could rally and they just saw, not that I'm saying you guys were ever in threat of relegation, just it's a point where, you know, some of the issues or some of the big issues that you've been facing are just out in the open and have to be addressed now. So I often don't like playing teams that have just been hammered, just been smashed. So you know, I can see you addressing a lot of those issues very quickly. I think you're a team with a lot of character in that way.
All right, Brendan Rodgers. But
You know, I can still see. I'm actually really excited for the game. I think we'll see goals, but I think I'll go with a draw.
I can see a draw very easily. If anyone knows about bouncing back from heavy defeats, I'm sure it's an Everton fan, so I'll take your word for it in that respect.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, you've got the upper hand here, so I've just got to throw them in where I
Yep.
can. But yeah, no, all jokes aside, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a really good game, and a draw is very possible. Hopefully, we can be the first team to take points off Everton this season. So yeah, fair play to them on the whole. We'll see how it pans out. Fabio, what have you gone for?
I've gone for something similar to you. I've gone for over 4.5 goals at 3-1. So obviously, there's been a lot of goals in the Premier League as a whole so far this season. Still a high number of penalties. Both sides look better going forwards than they do defensively. And crucially, I didn't want to tip a result. It's difficult to say what Liverpool are going to be like after such a bizarre match. I would expect them to be a lot better, obviously. And yeah, I just don't want to pick which way it's going to go.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that. Like we've all discussed, it's pretty up in the air just because, I mean, something like that 7-2 is just the definition of a freak result. But equally, can't argue with Everton's form. And there are weaknesses to be exploited in that Liverpool side. So, yeah, it'll be a fun one for sure. I'm looking forward to the game. Well, I say I'm looking forward to the game. I never really look forward to the derby at Goodison, but it's just a lose-lose. But it, from a neutral's perspective, I think it should be a really good one. Let's put that firmly behind us now, and we'll move on to the next game, which is Manchester City against Arsenal. Fabio, why don't you start us off with your value tip here?
I've got both teams to score at 4-7. Not the highest odds here, but I think it's fairly likely to come in. Manchester City yet to keep a clean sheet. They've been full of individual errors at the back, namely the three penalties against Leicester. I expect Arsenal to score. City have also struggled going forwards without an orthodox striker available to them, but they do rarely fail to score. So I think they'll score against Arsenal, who have only managed one clean sheet so far in the league, and that came against Fulham on the opening week.
Yep, I like the logic a lot. I'll jump in at this point just because my value tip is fairly similar here. I've also gone both teams to score, and I've just added in over 2.5 goals with that as well, which brings it up to 4-5, so pretty close to evens. It's playing the numbers as much as anything else. You've touched upon the kind of leakiness of both sides' defences. I'll just add this stat in quickly. I had a quick look. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals would have come off in exactly half of the Premier League games so far, and in 5 out of 7 games involving Arsenal or City. So just on the basis of the numbers, you'd have to think it's more likely than not. Greg, what have you gone with on the value?
Aubameyang to score at any time, 8-5. As you said, both teams' defences look shaky, but I'm really not convinced by that City back line season after season. And I know this sounds a bit like reverse logic, but Aubameyang hasn't scored for a while. He's got his new contract. He looked quite cushy. You know, it's not what you want to see from a player, signing a big contract and then sort of dropping off. But you know, I think he's owed a goal. I think it's about time. I can see Arsenal definitely scoring, and I think Aubameyang's probably the guy to get it.
Yep, fair enough. He's always a decent one to back. He's so lethal when the chances come. And against City, the chances probably should come. He's playing. I'd like it more if he played down the other side, because obviously their left back position is so problematic. Instead, he's up against Walker. But I mean, Walker's positioning is so high most of the time, there could be space to exploit there.
He's out of my fantasy
Sorry,
team this week. It's a straw too far if he goes another week.
Gorm. Fair enough. We'll move on to the wild cards.
Kind of alluded to it, but it's 6-1, an Arsenal win for me. I think this is such a crucial game for Pep Guardiola, not just as boss for Man City, but just as a manager in general. You know, he's facing his apprentice at a time where people are sort of saying he's lost it. He can't adapt to how the game's evolved around him. So I think it's quite a symbolic game, and you know, just the signs aren't there for City this season. Arsenal seem to be quite elevated, getting partying. Mikel Arteta seems to have brought a lot of joy to the Arsenal fans, as I keep hearing. I don't think it's that rogue a shout. I think it's quite a good value, 6-1 for an Arsenal win.
Yep. Well, firstly, I think Sky should get you on board as some kind of promoter, because you've bigged up this fixture massively. It's some sort of battle of the The old versus the new philosophies now. I can't wait. I thought it was just a decent clash between two top 16s, but I'm sold now. I've actually gone with the same tip as you again, so clearly we're on the same wavelength. I'm actually probably less convinced by it than you are, but I do think it's value. So I have been tipping City minus one a couple of times on this podcast, and they just keep on underperforming. So there comes a point where the value shifts to backing the opponent, particularly when, like I say, a so-called top six opponent is as high as they are at 6-1. So yeah, I like that a lot. What about you, Fabio?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Arsenal theme. Lacazette to score first at 9-1. It's not a market I usually like to go for, but Arsenal have scored first in all their league games so far. Lacazette was the first scorer in three of those. He's playing as a central striker, and he's likely to capitalize on any defensive errors because of that. And that's why I've gone for him ahead of Aubameyang.
Yep, fair enough. The only thing I would say is sort of in those big games against Leeds and again against Leicester, City did take the lead early on, only to go on and be pegged back. So they have started fairly strongly themselves. But like you say, Arsenal have also been prone to score first. So yeah, I suppose at 9-1 could be worth a punt. We'll move on. Last game of the match list this week is Tottenham against West Ham. So London clash. I'll kick us off with the value. Possibly a bit of a rogue one, but Thomas Suchek, one plus shot on target at evens. So the thinking here, he's normally in the mix at set pieces, as well as sort of breaking into the box late. He had a goal taken off him against Wolves, which was harshly credited as an own goal. So I could easily see him getting a shot off on goal. Headed shot on target at 9-4 was another one I was tempted by, but in the end, I just went more down the line. Any shot on target from Suchek at evens. Any thoughts on that one, Fabio?
I like that. He likes to have a pop from range, and Tottenham would like to sit quite deep, so that should invite shots from range as well.
And what have you gone with yourself?
I've got total Tottenham goals under 1.5 at 11-8. It's brave after they put six past Manchester United and five past Southampton a couple of weeks ago. But Spurs struggled to break down Everton on the opening weekend after falling behind. They had similar issues at the back end of last season where they struggled to break down teams. A lot of their threat comes on the counter, and I think West Ham might nullify that somewhat by sitting deeper with the back five.
Fair enough. I quite like that. But then again, I tipped under 2.5 last week in that Tottenham United game and made myself look like a bit of a mug. But hopefully it worked out better for you, Greg.
I thought this would be quite a high scoring game. You know, both teams coming off the back of quite impressive wins for them. I've gone with more than 2.5 goals, 4-7.
Oh, nice. I always like a contradictory clash of tips on the pod.
Not where you
Go
expected the
on.
controversy to be coming from today, this game.
It was all very civil in the Merseyside derby. But yeah, okay. That's an interesting one. I mean, as you can see, I've avoided tipping anything on the over-under market because I don't want to call it. So I'll leave you two to one of you can look like a genius and one of you can look less astute. We'll move on to the wild cards. I've gone with the draw at 16-5. So that's just sneaking in over the 3-1 threshold. I think Spurs were flattered by United's awful showing last week. They've drawn with Newcastle and they lost narrowly to Everton, although everyone's lost to Everton this season. I'll throw that in for Greg's benefit. but against an on-form West Ham, I could see it ending level. So I think 16-5 isn't too bad. What do you reckon?
No, I like that as well. Mine is a slightly not controversial one, but it's more rogue. It's Antonio to score first, 7-1. I think Spurs really have a tendency to concede early, and they need a bit of a kick, a bit of impetus to really get into a game. And since the restart, Antonio has looked like a real problem for defenders. I can't see that Spurs backline marshalling and dealing with Antonio. I think he might open the scoring, and at 7-1, you know, might be worth a rogue shout.
Yep, I mean, all the same caveats as Fabio mentioned on the first goal scorer market before, it can go wrong very quickly, but equally, it gets you the decent odds. Antonio has been on form, as you say, basically since the restart. Had that one game where he scored four, didn't he? He's looked really lethal. So, yeah, I quite like it on the whole, Fabio.
I've gone for Jared Bowen, anytime goal scorer at 7-2. He scored three goals in his last two. He's up against Sergio Reguilón, who likes to get forwards quite often, so that should leave space in behind. He's got pace to get in behind. Two of his goals came from just that. I did look at Antonio, but I've gone with Bowen in the end for those reasons.
Yep, fair enough. And of course, they could both come in with one being any time and one being first goal scorer. So no need for you two to fight it out again this time. Yeah, I quite like all of them, to be honest. I think we could, touch wood, have a decent week on that fixture. We'll move on to the overall wildcard selections. These are always fun. Fabi, why don't you start?
Sure. Sorry to bring it up, but it's Aston Villa. Aston Villa to win by 2+ goals against Leicester at 8-1. So I think we both tipped them for relegation at the start of the season, but since then they've made some very astute signings. Ollie Watkins, obviously, he scored a hat trick. Bertrand Traoré hasn't figured too much, but he's another option off the bench. And crucially for this game, I think Ross Barkley will relieve some of the creative burden from Jack Grealish. Teams often doubled up on Jack Grealish last season. If they do that here, then Barkley's going to have space. That's particularly important with Ndidi still injured for Leicester. They lost 3-0 last week, with all of their goals against West Ham coming from a lot of space provided in midfield, which has carved them open. So if they give Grealish or Barkley any space here, I think Aston Villa will do well.
Okay, a couple of things here. Firstly, I need to jump in and defend myself. I actually didn't tip them to go down. I tipped them to just avoid the drop. But yeah, the point still stands. They have exceeded expectations so far. I agree what you say about the signings. I think most of them look like they've really improved them. We said in our season preview that a top quality striker was a key, and they seem to have acquired that now in Ollie Watkins. But it shows what a topsy-turvy season this is, that you can validly tip Villa to beat Leicester by 2+, not long after Leicester absolutely drubbed Manchester City. It's been pretty crazy, but I quite like the tip. It's unlikely, but that's why it's 8-1, and that's what the overall wildcard market is for. So fair enough on the whole. What about you?
A Merseyside derby related bet here. I've gone with an anytime scorer, and I've gone with Michael Keane. I really
Ooh.
fancy us from set pieces this season. We've got Ancelotti's son, Davide, who seemed to have managed the way we do things. You know, if you remember under Marco Silva, our big problem was that every time we conceded a set piece, the other team would score. But we really sorted things out. Davide Ancelotti, that is, has come in, and Michael Keane just looks a real threat every time we have a corner, every time we have a set piece at 13-1, which this is. You know, I think it's rogue, but he has at least a shot on target every game.
Wow, fair enough. I mean, we do have a record of rogue defending goal scoring tips on this podcast. Fabio also tipped Andy Robertson to score at 13-1 the other week, and somehow that came in. So I'm not going to sit here and ridicule you because I did that on the Robertson shout and then that backfired. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, Everton look a lot better on the set pieces than in the past. Liverpool perhaps looking a little weaker. Last season, we were right towards the bottom of the table in terms of goals conceded of set pieces, but it does look to be a little bit more of a weakness again, kind of back to the earlier Klopp days when that was always an Achilles heel. Like you say, I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but at 13-1, probably slightly overpriced. So, yeah, again, not too much controversy on the Merseyside derby front. Keane could get a goal. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I don't disagree necessarily. What I've gone for is Fabio might have some words with me about this one, but I've gone with draw and over 3.5 goals in Chelsea against Southampton, which comes in at 10-1. So in all likelihood, that's me tipping a 2-all or possibly a 3-all. So it does rely on the game being a bit mad, but these are two sides with reputations for being a bit open, arguably slightly naive, and I could see a chaotic contest with this kind of result. I'll turn to you on that, Fabio.
Could see it happening. I mean, I think we'll win, but I wouldn't put it past us. Southampton have two strikers who are playing well together. Ings is always a danger, of course, and Chelsea are prone to getting caught in transition. On the other hand, I think Chelsea will score and score fairly well. If Southampton play a high line in the same way that they have against Tottenham and against Crystal Palace, then I'd expect Werner to have some success there. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of goals.
And of course, Werner and Havertz scoring in the international break for Germany. So they could be sort of on form in that respect. So, okay, that actually rounds us up for this week. Greg, thank you
No,
so
thanks
much
for
for
having me,
coming on. It's
James.
been a
I
pleasure having
tried
you.
to I tried to scale back the smugness. I hope it was I hope I was tolerable. A moral high ground.
Yeah, well within expected levels. Yeah, I think you've underperformed your expected smugness on the
My
model,
ex.
so I'll let you off. Trying out a new segment this week, and I'm going to hand over to Fabio, who'll be presenting that part of the show.
So our new section will be on Fantine's Player Matchup game. If you don't know what that is, it's a head-to-head fantasy-based game where you pick between 3 to 10 matchups. The aim is to pick the player who will score the most points in a given week, and the scoring system works similarly to most fantasy games, with a couple of tweaks here and there, but we'll mention those whenever they're relevant. Picking your matchups is very similar to building an accumulator, and the odds will go up accordingly. We'll post a link on our Twitter to Fanteam where you can sign up and play. Also worth mentioning that we're giving away 2 free Fanteam entries to a Champions League game, so look out for that before Monday the 19th. We've picked out 3 matchups this week, starting with Roberto Firmino against Trent Alexander-Arnold. Who have you chosen for this one, James?
All right, cheers for that, Fabio. Thanks for talking us through it. I back Trent here. A lot of Liverpool fans are actually starting to turn on Firmino, which, for what it's worth, I think is really harsh, but his output has undoubtedly dropped. So most of his contributions to the team, which I think are still significant, but they aren't things that are really measured in fan team or in any classic fantasy games, really. It's because that focuses on the traditional metrics like goals and assists. Whereas Firmino at the moment is he's not really been racking them up at any great rate. So with Alexander Arnold, he has the clean sheet potential, although you'd expect Everton to score, but that's a possibility at any rate. And even if he does let one or two in at that end, he's just a constant attacking threat as well with set pieces and from open play.
Well, I agree with you on the whole. I'm usually a massive fan of Alexander Arnold in fantasy games, but for once, I'm going with Firmino here. He scored twice on international duty and had a third stolen off him by Richarlison. His record's better away from home. And I think Alexander Arnold is likely to concede against Everton. Obviously, he's got great assist threat. Firmino does have the asterisk on this one, which means if the two top, Firmino will win it.
Yeah, I can see how that might swing you in his favour, but on the whole, just looking at the numbers in recent games, for me, he's just not been getting those attacking returns. Maybe there's something different about the Brazil setup. I don't really know how to explain it to you, but for whatever reason, I couldn't back him to pick up those attacking returns for Liverpool right now.
Yeah, fair enough. I trust your opinion on Liverpool. Moving on, we've got Ollie Watkins against Alexandra Mitrovic. I'll kick off on this one. As I said earlier, I fancy Aston Villa to do well against Leicester. Watkins obviously scored that hat trick against Liverpool. He's high on confidence. Mitrovic, on the other hand, is feeding off scraps. Sheffield United haven't been great so far, but they were very solid defensively last season. And once again, Watkins has the asterisk here, so if they tie on points, he'll win it, and that's enough to swing it for me.
I've actually gone in the other direction, so we're disagreeing again. Clearly, this is the way for us to manufacture disagreement is the fan team format. All of that logic stacks up. This is a tough one to call, but the reason I'm leaning towards Mitrovic is purely due to the fixture difficulty. Sheffield United have started really poorly, and it's at that kind of upper Championship, lower Premier League level where Mitrovic just has this long track record of success. Like you say, Watkins does have the hat trick to his name last time out, but to be frank, that kind of awful defensive performance from Liverpool is not going to be what he's up against every week. So, yeah, on the whole, I think I'd just about lean towards Mitrovic.
Yeah, I can see the logic there. If Mitrovic gets chances, he usually does take them. It's just a case of not too many chances. Lastly, we've got Callum Robinson against Wilfried Zaha. James, where do you see this one going?
I've gone with Zaha here. He's looked improved this season compared to the last campaign, perhaps with Eze taking off some of that attacking burden. And Brighton have looked decent. I mean, I keep on repeatedly backing them on this podcast to little success. And that's the thing, even though they've looked quite good, they've ultimately looked vulnerable as well. Robinson has started the season decently too, and Burnley haven't been amazing, but they typically keep things quite tight at the back, and you wouldn't necessarily expect a newly promoted side to rack up too many against a Sean Dyche team.
Well, the good news is we're getting 3 right because I've gone for Callum Robinson here. So you get an extra point if your team wins in Fanteam. And I think that West Brom have a better chance of beating Burnley than Palace do of beating Brighton. If I had to guess, I'd say that neither score any attacking points. But the team winning, along with Robinson having the asterisk, should give him a narrow win, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I see what you mean, given that if they're both blank in traditional fantasy terms, then it'll probably go to Robinson. So I suppose playing the numbers, your shout might be the better one there. But if I had to say who's more likely to get attacking returns, I'd still come down on the side of Zaha.
Yeah, I don't think either will get an attacking return, so that's why I've gone for Robinson. And that just about wraps up this section.
So brilliant. Thank you everyone for listening. This has been Clutch Football from Serving Up Clutch. That's at Serving Up Clutch on Twitter. Remember to follow that. Remember to check out our tennis podcast as well, if that's something you're interested in. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.